Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Keith Law, baseball writer, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Been reading some of his prospect analysis with the Major League Baseball draft coming up soon. Keith, look, Astro fans don't love you, if we're being frank. Now, a lot of things you said about the organization, I think fans are coming around to see your side of things. When the Astros let James Click go after they won the World Series, you said, you know, clown show, circus, what are they doing? A lot of people were mad at you at the time. Now, I'm hearing a lot of fans in 2024 saying, clown show, circus, what are the Astros doing? Watching this from afar, how have you seen this play out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if Astros fans don't like me. I was right. What if I said that was wrong? Fans don't want to hear negative things about their team. That's their right as a fan. But the team's made a lot of pretty colossal mistakes since winning that World Series. I mean, how's that Jose Abreu contract working out? How's that Rafael Montero contract working out? How is letting guys like Jeff Bagwell, with no front office experience whatsoever, make critical decisions working out? The team is clearly in worse shape today than they were the moment they won that World Series. The farm system is worse off. The Major League club is worse off. It's just been mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, the Astros fans want to claim they don't like me. Can I hand you a tissue? Really, where's the lot? What have I said that was wrong? Everything I said about this organization turned out to be true. Sorry, but not sorry.
Look, Keith, you've been on with us quite a few times, and we appreciate it. And I appreciate the perspective, too, and the honesty. As it relates to right now, as you look at this front office, you know, we've had the discussion. It seems like maybe Dana Brown and maybe even Joe Espada, it seems like are mere puppets to, as I call them, the Crane gang of Jim Crane, Reggie Jackson, Jeff Bagwell, and maybe Craig Biggio. Around Major League Baseball, is that the perception that Dana Brown basically has his hands tied and he is kind of the front man, but they're making all the decisions behind the scenes?
Yes, that is 100% the perception. Now I can't speak to, I know Dana, I haven't talked to him about his role there. I wouldn't ask a question like that. Sure. I just don't think that is appropriate, but I can tell you that that is the perception, that Jim Crane has decided that he's smarter than everybody else. And he's going to have his little cadre of advisors who he respects because they played the game, not because they are evaluators or have experience in a front office. And he is allowing them to manage at the very least the core Major League decision. What is less clear is how much they are involved in decisions like the draft or player development. Now, I've heard certainly there's been some crossover, at least into player development, but less of that. And I do think we've seen situations like that where one person, sort of shadow or otherwise, is making core Major League decisions, but the baseball people are allowed to do the other baseball jobs, scouting, which, you know, draft and international, player development, even some trade stuff. You can run an organization, probably not forever, but have some short-term success with that kind of model. It's certainly not ideal. I don't think we have enough information to know if that's true. When Dana was first hired, what I heard was he would definitely be in charge of things like the draft and player development, which is Dana's specialty and has been his whole career. That is, he has excelled in those roles and did, you know, I think he had a huge hand in the run of the most recent part of Atlanta's run of success. Also, Spencer Strider, you talk to people in Atlanta, they give him a ton of credit for bringing Strider into that organization. I don't know. These drafts haven't looked a lot like Dana Brown drafts, and I would like to see, again, what they do this year before, you know, having too strong of an opinion of whether he's being allowed to do the things he'd want to do on that side as well.
Yeah, I think there's been some evidence to that, you know, moving on from Click, not signing Dana Brown to be the GM until late in the offseason when the work had been done. I mean, you had Reggie Jackson on a podcast, the New York guy, saying, you know, how, you know, big of a voice they have, et cetera, et cetera. Keith Law joining us on the HR&P guest line. What is the best way to handle the Jose Abreu situation now? Yes, you were right about it, but here you are June 6th. He's, you know, not hitting anywhere near his weight. He's been awful. He's been terrible. Worst contract. One of the worst contracts in all of baseball. What is the right way to handle this from this point forward?
Well, he's a release. He should be released. I mean, that is, there's no purpose to keeping him on the roster at this point. He gave him the first year. Okay, maybe it's a down year. I didn't think so. I thought we had plenty of reason to think it was real. But I also understand them saying 3-year contract, let's get into the second year, see if an off-season of work changes anything? It hasn't. At this point, you have to add, the money's gone, right? He's paid no matter what. The guaranteed contract, the money is not a factor in the decision. You have to answer two questions. Is this team better off with Jose Abreu playing, like, as an everyday player? No, they are clearly not. And the second question is this team better off with Jose Abreu on the roster? I think that's a little more subjective, but the answer is probably no. At this point, they are simply better off if he's not there. And they tried, I give them credit at least for trying everything. They sent him out on this development list. They sent him down to Complex to see if they could figure something out. I think he's done. And that happens. That is what one of the fears you have. I voiced it at the time of the contract. Players that age, limited skill set, no defensive value, not great athletes, declining bat speed. When it just goes. And at some point, you have to just be callous and say, we are a better team without him here, without him on the roster, and figure out who your other options are. But I mean, I don't think it's hard. It's not hard to find guys you could hit better than Abreu could. Pretty much every team has a guy like that, or two or three, sitting in the high minors who could come do that job. And again, because the money is spent already, you just let him go. And I think it's going to be hard for Crane and company to do that because it's admission of error. No GM, no team owner likes to release a player they signed to a big free agent deal. That is human nature. People don't like to admit their errors, and particularly when their errors come with eight-figure price tags.
Keith, I'm interested in another guy that has been struggling throughout the season that bet on himself, Alex Bregman, but he's been hot of late. A lot of people saying slim to no chance that they re-sign Alex Bregman. Does this help or hurt the Astros, and what do you think his going rate might be? Because he was looking for the upper levels of free agency third baseman-type dollars at the start of this season, and based on what teams have seen, and like you talked about with Abreu, you're questioning what he can still do, what he's got left in the tank. How does that affect Alex Bregman?
I don't think those two situations are comparable at all. Bregman is entering free agency after his age 30 season. He'll be 31 next year. So, I mean, I guess he'd be on the back nine in terms of the typical offer a position player, but quite a bit younger than Abreu was in his first year. Bregman also plays a skill position at third base. He has played very well for a long time. He had a broader set of skills that he brings to the table. And also, I happen to think Bregman's slow start was more fluke than anything else. It happens, right? Trying to parse what a player does in 1 or 2 months is going to lead you to a lot of errant conclusions because it's just not, again, that's not that much of a sample. Now, if we got to the end of the season, Bregman still had a .292 on base percentage. I would revise that opinion. I would not completely toss him out as a player and say, oh, I don't want to sign him, but it would affect my consideration of what his future value would be because you do have to worry. Maybe he has taken a step backwards. I really don't think that's the case. 31 is not that old. I wouldn't sign him to a 10-year deal, but I would gladly give him a 5-year deal. I don't know exactly what contract length he was looking for. I also don't really know what the market is going to be like. We just left a very, very strange free agent market this past winter. Probably worse for pitchers than for position players, but I would have not really changed my opinion on Alex Bregman today versus what it would have been if you'd asked me this question on March 15th. My bet is he's still exactly the player we saw last year and the year before that, and I'd be comfortable giving him a long-term deal.
Keith Law joining us on the HRNP guest line, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. A lot can happen between now and mid-July when the trade deadline stuff starts to heat up. But as it stands now, Astros 7.5 back in the division, 6 back of the wild card. What should the Astros do? What do you think they will do?
They should be in, right? This club was built to contend. They are close enough to contention. And I think they can look at players like Bregman and say, we will get more production from Bregman the remainder of the season than we have from him so far. I think they should also look realistically. You know, they've taken some real hits to the pitching staff. That's going to be tough to replace. I do think they're in the situation where they should say, farm system is not in great shape, but they have some players who would have some value in trade, and they've been willing to take on some money in the past. I think they should take that same approach and just say, we're all in, especially with Bregman potentially leaving in free agency. I'm not going to write him off and say he's gone, but you take the attitude that he might be gone, and they should act accordingly and say, if this is the last year of Bregman, we do have a club that's a little bit on the older side, we should just say this might be the last big push with the possibility that you're thinking about rebuilding to, on some level starting next year. I would much rather see them do that. I think fans would probably rather see them do that too, even if it means trading off some of the few prospects they have remaining to try to buttress this roster one last time for another run. They were, again, they were so close to the World Series last year, and this club is, I don't know, 90% of that club. But also, if we've seen this repeatedly. All you have to do is get in. The Diamondbacks were the last team in the National League, and they made it to the World Series. If the Astros get in, they're going to be a legitimate World Series contender, right? You just have to get into the playoffs. And I think right now they're close enough that that should be the strategy. Now, a month from now, they have time, right? A month from now, even they're probably about 6 weeks. If 6 weeks from now, they're further behind, that may change. My guess is 6 weeks from now, if we have this conversation again, they will be closer to a playoff spot than they are today. Maybe not in one, but that they will close that gap, because I do think it's a better club than what we've seen so far this year. And a big part of that is I do think Alex Bregman is going to be better. It's a disappointing start. I don't think that's the player he really is.
Keith, I'm curious from the standpoint of Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's been a hell of a player here. We know that Jim Crane and company, they have a propensity to get all they can out of their players. They don't try and trade them off because they want the perception that we did everything we could to sign them, and then they tip the cap and they move on. How do you see the Tucker situation playing out here? He's got one more after this, but how do you see the Astros handling all of that?
I mean, Tucker would enter free agency after his age 28 season. That's the guy who's getting an 8 to 10 year deal, typically. You know, just looking at the recent history of elite offensive free agents who hit free agency before their age 30 season. You're right. The Astros haven't really done that. That's another mistake. I mean, that is a core player. That's a guy you sign. That is a guy you continue to build around. And if you do have to give him 8 to 10 years, well, probably 6 to 8 of those years are going to be really good. You're getting the remainder of his prime years. And Tucker, he's a very athletic player. Such a great pick when they did it too. And he is exactly the type of player I do think ages well. He's athletic and he's got fast speed and he's shown he can really play defense. It's a broad set of skills. It's a good body. It's a good athlete. That is the type of player I bet on retaining more of his value into his 30s. I can't tell you what the Astros are thinking. I don't really even know for sure who's making the decision. But that is a guy, if I were consulting to them, I would say this is the one we sign. I would actually rather give him the long-term deal than Alex Bregman. Nothing against Bregman as a player, but he's 3 years older. And that is a huge difference. In baseball age, that's enormous. Getting a player's age 28, 29, 30 seasons. Well, 28, they still have Tucker, but that would be wrapped into a deal. Those are much more valuable seasons offensively, and I would be more. It's probably one or the other. Unless the answer is neither, I would definitely give the money to Tucker first before I did to Bregman.
North of $300 million,
and that's what the cost is, right? That's just what to get a player like that. I think that's what the market is, and I think Kyle Tucker is easily a $30 million a year player right now. It's probably really closer to 40 for a contender. When you think of what he's worth, how much worse this Astros club would be without Tucker. How much worse they would be next year. It's not like there's a replacement sitting there in AAA or AA ready to take that job. They will take a big step back if he's gone. We haven't seen them go after the Tucker type in free agency. They haven't been in on those guys, the Turners and the Harpers and the Machados, as those guys have hit free agency. Now, they haven't had the need, so that's not a criticism. But we also just don't have the history of them going out to get the $300 million player as much as we don't have the history of them signing that guy internally.
Keith, appreciate the conversation. Great stuff. Thanks, as man. Always. Yep. Looking forward to reading some of your draft stuff coming up in the next month or so.
Yep, my pleasure.
Keith Law covers Major League Baseball, baseball in general, for The Athletic.